Usually this time of the year, before Rosh Hashanah, we concentrate on the upcoming Yamim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we'll do the same thing this year. Part of the shiur will be a repetition of things we have said in the past, and part of it will be some new additions. So we all come to the Rebbeinu Shalom, we're starting to say Slichas, and Chatanu, Avinu, Pashanu, we want to make tshuva. We wanted to make repentance, we want to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have a pretty detailed guidelines given to us about how to do tshuva. The Rambam is the most famous one that gives us three important points of the process of making a tshuva, a process of repenting. The Rambam says that the three ingredients to it are azivat achet, to stop doing what you have done up until now. So if you have done a particular sin, if you repeated the action, you have to stop doing what you have done. The second thing is charata and vidui bepeh. You have to say, I am sorry, and not only think, you really genuinely have to be sorry for what you have done. Saying it is not good enough. And the third ingredient, says the Rambam, is Kabbalah le'atid. You have to accept upon yourself that in the future, when you will have similar situations to the situation where you made the sin, you will not repeat it. And some of them are saying that not only you have to accept upon yourself, but you really have to experience a similar situation and avoid the sin that you have done, and that shows that the acceptance that you had upon yourself was not just an outside acceptance, but it was really and truly genuine repentance of what you've done in the past. This is as far as sinning on the level of between Adam Lamakom, between man and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Those are the three basic steps. When it comes to do a tshuva on interpersonal sins, on sins that have to do between amongst us, then there is a few additional steps that needs to be taken, and the process becomes a lot harder. And I want to spend a few minutes just to describe why the process is a lot harder. Again, it's not my description, it is the Rambam. So the Rambam says the following. The first thing is that we rarely think that we have done something wrong when it comes to the other. We didn't behave properly to him. He deserved it. We got angry at them. There was justification for it. We really have a very hard time accepting, in many cases, that we have done something wrong towards the other. Okay? Says the Rambam, and I'm going to read and then I'll translate it. Says the Rambam the following. Umehem chamisha dvarim, there are five things that somebody that makes them, haoseh otam, yimashech achareihem tamid, vekashim hem lifrosh mehem. There are five things, says the Rambam, that when somebody starts doing them, he is likely to continue to do them, and it's very hard to stop doing them. What are those five things? Says the Rambam. Rechilut, velashon hara. Okay, gossip and loshon hara, ubal chema, somebody who gets angry very quickly. We spoke in the past about how horrible anger is. Ubal machshava ra'ah, somebody who always have bad thoughts in his mind about what to do to others, about when he evaluates others, it's always to the negative. And then says the Rambam, v'amitchaber la'rasha, who somebody who befriends a bad person. Because says the Rambam, why mipnei shehu lomed mimasav, when you befriend a negative person, you are emulating and you're learning from him, vehem nirshamim belibo, and it becomes internalized by you. So the Rambam is counting five things that it's really hard to make tshuva from them, and those, all of them are really things that have to do with interpersonal behavior. So the first thing is that we have to recognize that we did something wrong. Because without recognizing that we did something wrong, we'll never make tshuva. And that's not an easy chore. The second mistake that people make, again according to the Rambam, they saying, they think that you have to make tshuva only on bad deeds. If you acted negatively. But what happens if you think negatively, if you approach negatively? I don't have to make tshuva, I haven't done anything bad. Says the Rambam. Al tomar, don't say she'en tshuva ela me'avirot she'yesh bahem ma'aseh. Don't say that the only time you need to make tshuva is from sins that entails doing something wrong. Kegon, like snut, vegezel, ugneva, adultery, stealing. Ela, says the Rambam, keshem shetzarich adam lashuv me'elu, the same way that a person has to repent from bad deeds, clearly needs to do repentance, kach hu tzarich lechapes bedeot ra'ot sheyesh lo. The same way he has to look for bad traits that he has. Velashuv min hakas, from anger, umin haiva, from hating someone, umin hakinah, being jealous, umirdifat hamamon, always running after more money, vahakavod, and so on. So you're not doing anything bad, right? At least towards the other. You like money. You like COVID. You like to think negatively about other people. Says the Rambam, don't think for 1 minute that you don't have to make tshuva on those. Even though you haven't done anything, it's just a trait that you have within you. Ve'eila avonot, says the Rambam, those bad traits, kashim me'otam sheyesh bahem ma'aseh. They are harder, they are worse than those that the entailer did. Why? Sheadam nishka be'elu, if you start getting in, if those are becoming part of you, kashem ifrosh mehem, it's very hard to leave them. V'chen omer ya'azov rasha darko ve'ish aven machshevotav. You should leave darko, it's the way that you have, the way that you think. Those are the things that makes it very hard. So we spoke up until now about two things why making tshuva on interpersonal issues is harder. A, we don't think we have done anything wrong. B, we don't think that we have to make tshuva on traits that are really built in us because we haven't done anything with them. The third thing is that doing tshuva on interpersonal things requires more than the three steps that we just mentioned. It's not enough to recognize that you did something wrong. It's not enough to accept upon yourself not to do it in the future. And it's not enough to say, I'm sorry. Says the Rambam, En ha-tshuva ביום הכיפורים מחפרים אל העבירות שבין אדם למקום. When you make tshuva and comes Yom Kippur, the kapora is done only on things between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aval averot sheben adam lachavero, interpersonal averot, kegon hachovel et chavero, or hamekalel et chavero, you just cursed him, or gozlo v'kayotze bahem, eino nimchal lo leolam. You will never get kapara on this. It's never being wiped out ad till sheiten lachavero mashu chayav lo v'iratzeu. If you owe somebody money, or if you owe somebody whatever it is, you have to give it to him, and then you have to ask him for an excuse. Afal pi, says the Rambam, she'chzir lo mamon shu chayav lo, even though he already gave him back the money that he owes it to him, tzarich leratzoto, he has to ask him for forgiveness, ולשאול ממנו שימחל לו. אפילו לא הקנית את חברו אלא בדברים. Even though he just said something bad to his friends, he has to ask for a mechila and ask to make sure that the guy is really forgiving him. It's interesting. On one side you have all the sins between a man and God, that all of you don't have to take any action. You just have to really feel repentance. You feel bad about what you're doing and accept upon yourself, make a vidui to accept upon yourself not to do it and recognize that what you did was wrong. When it comes to interpersonal things, there are some actions that are required. It's not enough to say to yourself, I am sorry. You have to go to the other guy and first you have to ameliorate or fix the underlying cause and then ask for a mechila. The Gemara is saying that Aaron HaKohen was Oyev Shalom v'Oyev Shalom. The Gemara says, how did he do it? If two people had disagreement, Aaron HaKohen used to go to each one of them and tells them, you know, the other guy is so sorry about what's going on.
he's just beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. And he used to go and say to each person.
So if you're a logical person, you have to ask yourself the following question. People don't just fight because they don't like the face of each other. There's always an underlying cause. So let's assume that two people fight. One guy tells the other guy owes me $10,000. And the guy says, I don't owe him a penny. And they start to fight. And soon enough, the owing of the money transfers from just a monetary issue, he's a gunner, he's no good, you cannot trust him, it turns into a personal dispute. So let's take those two people, and Aaron HaKohen is going to someone and telling him, you know, Reuven. Aaron goes to Reuven and says, Shimon is so sorry about what's going on between you. I would like to make sure. And Reuven would tell Aaron HaKohen, Aaron, there's no problem. Just tell him to give me the $10,000 he owes me, and everything is done. He goes to the other one, he's saying the same thing, he's so sorry about what's going on, and the other guy said, it's not a problem. Just tell him to get off my back with the $10,000 that I don't owe him, and everything is done. So how did Aaron HaKohen accomplish here something that seems so simple, and he goes to everybody and says, everybody's so sorry. I heard one time a very simple explanation. Aaron HaKohen used to go to each one and say, look, you have a monetary dispute. You say he owes you $10,000. He says he doesn't owe you the $10,000. For this we have a Beis Din. Go to the Rav and have a din toira, and the Rav will decide whether he owes you the money or not. But everything that now sprung out of this dispute, the hatred, the loss of knowledge, all of those negative things, this is what they're very sorry about it. The dispute can be solved. And that's how Aaron HaKohen was Roide Sholem and now the Sholem. We have to realize that when we have the dispute with other peoples, when we have disagreement, when we have fight with other people, there's always an underlying cause. Many times, unfortunately, you don't even remember what was the underlying cause. Because now it's the third generation in the family that the Eniklach are fighting with Eniklach because their grandparents fought about something that they don't know what it is. But I'm saying there's always an underlying cause, and that underlying cause has to be resolved first. And after it's resolved, says the Rambam, you still have to ask Mechila. I always tell people something that Rav Dessler is saying in Michtav Meliyahu. I told it last year to the chief rabbi of Netanya, a big city, and I told him, you know, Rav Dessler is saying that from the Loshon of the Gemara, Averot sheben adam lechavero en yom ha-kippurim mechaper ad sheiratze et chavero. Rav Dessler wants to say that the Loshon, that the language the Gemara is using, they're saying that the Averis, the interpersonal Averot, yom ha-kippurim is not erasing them, Achi Ratzet Chavero. But Yom HaKippurim does not erase them. En Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, Achi Ratzet Chavero. Says Rav Dessler, a Yush Chiddush, that if you are not taking care of the interpersonal Averot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mechaper on the other ones. Big Chiddush, it is. It's very hard to understand. But that's how far it's going. It's interesting that the Reish Rabin, and he wrote a book, a sefer called Adrash Vayun, and Rabban Levin is talking a lot about the importance of mitzvot shebein adam lechaverov and adam lamakom. He said that one of the things that symbolize this importance is that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel yad is more the practical mitzvot. He said this represents the mitzvot shebein adam lechaverov. Tefillin shel rosh is more the thinking, the feeling mitzvot, than adam lamakom. He says the first thing that you do is you put tefillin shel yad on, and then you put the tefillin shel rosh. And that's to tell you what's important. What's the first thing that you have to worry about? It is about the mitzvot shebein adam lechaverov. Then you put on the tefillin shel rosh. He said, when you take them off, you first take off the tefillin shel rosh, and then you take only the tefillin shel yad. Just to show you how important are those mitzvot. Okay, the Chasam Sofer, a very famous Chasam Sofer, and if that's the only thing that we will remember from the Shir, it's also good. The Chasam Sofer is saying there's a pasuk in Dvorim about Eretz Yisrael. He says, "Tamid enei Hashem Elokecha ba mereshit hashana ve'ad achrit shana." He says that Eretz Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, eyes are on Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year, mereshit hashana. The Torah gives you from the beginning of the year, and then the Torah ends ve'ad achrit shana, till the end of a year, not the year. Ask the Chasam Sofer, why is this that the Hey, Mereshit HaShana, is in the beginning?
But at the end, ועד אחרית שנה, there's no more hey idea. The right Hebrew should be מראשית השנה ועד אחרית השנה. Says the Chassam Sofer that in the beginning of the year, every Yid is full of itlaavut. They are ready for the Yomim Nevoim. They're accepting upon yourself, this year I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. I will do whatever it is to improve my behavior. He said, as the year goes along, those things dissipate. And at the end of the year, it turns out to be another just regular year. So in the beginning of the year, I thought, this will be the year that I'm going to really change. At the end of it, we go back to our old habits, and it turns out to be the same year. It's an interesting, there's a story that I heard from somebody that is a good description, a good analogy to what the Samsefer is saying. In the past, when people get their hat dirty, today we go to a new store and we buy a new hat, and that's it. That was not something that was readily available in the past. So there were people that were hat cleaners. That's what their job. And many times, what they did with their hats, it was called in Yiddish, Ibelmachen. They used to take the hat, turn it inside out, and create the new form of the hat, and you have now a new clean hat. What happened is many times, a few months later, the people who gave them the hat came to tinus. You know, they complained, my hat is dirty again. What did you do? You didn't clean it right. And the hat maker used to tell them, he said, listen, the problem that the hat got dirty in the first place is because when you ate the chonk, you took the hands and you put it on your head because you wanted to bench. And then when you ate something else, you took the head off. So every time there was a little dirt that was stuck to the head from the food that you used. The problem is that after I clean the head, you continue still to do the same thing. Why did you expect that the head is not going to get dirty again? Okay? If we're not changing the underlying behavior that causes us, whatever it is that we're trying to change, it's going to be useless. And that's what the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer says that our sins are the nature of human being. I mean, all of us probably try to diet or to do some other things, and we are in the beginning very makbid, and we're trying to make sure that we are not deviating from anything, but at the end, I lost weight a lot of times. Okay? How can we take those behaviors that we really want to change, how can we take them and try to make the change a little more permanent? I have some advice. I don't know how good it is, but I'm talking to myself now. So the first thing that we need to know, and that is to do with the fact, we need to understand that in Shamayim, when we come to Beis Din Shel Mala, the yardstick for judging us is completely different than the Beis Din Shel Mata. Completely different. In Beis Din Shel Mata, when you come to court, the court has to make a decision, are you guilty or not? What are the facts? What is your intentions? They have to decide all of those things, and then if they decide you're guilty, what is the punishment? Because Baruch Hu doesn't have any questions about the facts and about your intention. And we don't have any doubt that if we will truly go to a Beis Din, based on merit alone, we are in trouble. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im kibonim rachmeinu kirachem avayim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachmonis. We ask mercy. We're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to adjudicating us based on the regular rules of law. And in order to achieve this mercy, the Gemara gives us a few interesting ways of how we can do it. There is a yardstick in the Torah, and I can give a lot of shiurim about it, called Midah Keneged Midah. Midah Keneged Midah means HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves to you the way you behave to others. It's like Hashem Tzilcho Al Yad Yeminecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow, and your shadow follows you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask, I need mercy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it the same way that you deal with others. And the Gemara says there are three things that we need to realize when it comes to this. There's a Gemara that says in Rosh Hashanah, Kol ha-ma'avir al midotav, ma'avirim lo al psha'av. If somebody ma'avir al midotav means you are discarding, you continue to go. Somebody tried to make you angry, ignore it. Somebody does something that should elicit a particular response from you, and you're not responding. So basically you're saying, this guy deserves something, but I'm not going to do it. That same behavior is going to be done to you upstairs. So you may deserve something, you may have certain things that we deserve a punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you were mevater. You didn't respond in a way that hurt the other one. We're not going to do it to you. That's called midah keneged midah. Look at the mirror, and that's the way they're going to adjudicate you. The second thing is, the Gemara says, Kol amerachem al abriyot, merachamim alav min hashamayim. Whoever has mercy on others, there's mercy from him, on him from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know how we develop this midah. But the midah of mercy, again, it's a subject that we spoke a lot about it in the past. Mercy means you have to feel the other. You have to see what hurts him and help him. Mercy does not necessarily mean just to help when somebody is in trouble. Mercy means to try to avoid somebody becoming getting into trouble. But the aloha is that if you feel the other, or if you see somebody else is in trouble, and you do what you need to do, they will do the same thing from Shemayim. There's an interesting note that I want to tell you about the concept of rachamim. We read it just a few weeks ago. What happens if the Torah tells us to be cruel, and I am doing what the Torah told me to do, and I am doing a cruel act? Am I doing anything wrong? Am I doing something that requires siyata dishmaya afterwards? Tells us the Torah, yes. And the case that I'm talking about is Ira Nidachat. Ira Nidachat is the Torah we read a few weeks ago. The Torah is telling us that if we found a city that the majority of the people there are of the Avodah Zorah, the idol worshipping, we have to kill everyone, we have to destroy the city, whatever have you. So basically now have this army of court workers that are going to have to carry a very cruel task. A very cruel task. They have to kill people. Says the Torah. The Torah is telling us an interesting promise. Ve'nosan lecho rachamim ve'richamecha. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling those people that are working for the court, don't worry that you will become cruel, because I am going to instill in your heart back the trait of rachamim, the trait of mercy. And only then, v'richamecha, only then I can have rachamim on you. Because as long as it's instilled in, cruelty is instilled in your heart, even though it was instilled in your heart because the Torah told you to do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have mercy on you. So the Torah is telling us three words, V'natan lecha rachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to instill back in your heart rachamim, so he can give you rachamim. Very important. And the third thing is, we just read it last week, Shoftim v'shoytim titen lecho v'chol she'orecho, tzedek tzedek tirdof. The Shoftim v'shoytim that the Torah is talking about is not necessarily only about the official judges and policemen in the community. All the Mefoshim of the Torah are saying, the Torah says Shoftim v'shoytim titen lecho, in a singular language, you are the judge, you are the policeman when you judge others. The shafateta et ha'am b'chol sharecha. B'chol sharecha means in all your gates, the eyes, the ears, the mouth. Whenever you judge and adjudicate someone else based on what you see, based on what you hear, based on what they say, or what you say, the shafateta et ha'am mishpat tzedek. You should always look for the right thing. And the Gemara learns from the pasuk tzedek tzedek tirdof. The Gemara says that we can't lifnim meshuras hadin. So we have to adjudicate others favorably if we want to be adjudicated favorably. Just as simple as this. Easier said than done. But there's another interesting thing, and we read it last week in the parsha. And it's a fascinating Bnei Sosko. So I'm going to read it to you first, some of it in Hebrew, and I'll translate it. The Torah says the following. We read it last week. Ki tikrav elir li'ilachem aleha. If you will come close to a city to fight it, v'karata elea l'shalom. The first thing that you have to do is try to make peace with them. That's the first thing. V'aya im shalom ta'ancha, if they will respond to you peacefully, upatcha lecha, and they'll say, here the doors are open, v'aya kol ha'am ha'nimtza ba, everybody that's in the city, yulecha lemas v'avaducha, you will rule them, and that's it. V'im lo tashlim imach, and if it will not do peace with you, v'asta imcha milchama, and they'll fight you, v'tzarta alea, you will surround the city and eventually you'll have to kill everybody. That's the literal meaning of the pasuk. Says the Bnei Yisroel, The Gemara says that the word ir, city, sometimes referred to the human body. We have so many moving parts in it that the Gemara in the Dorim Daf Lamed Bet says that ir is a symbol of a person. Says the Bnei Sosso, Kitikra vel ir, if you will come close to yourself, to your body, Leilachem alea, you want that all the moving parts of your body, once you want them to do the right thing and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want them to do what you want to do to satisfy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vekarata elea leshalom, you will call the trait of peace. And you should dan everyone, you should adjudicate every human being lekaf zchut, and don't see the bad things in them. Try to see only the positive things in them. When you see only negative in someone else, you should know that you are yourself in trouble. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Yitiyatzev al derech lo tov, ra lo imas. If you are, the literal meaning of the pasuk is, if you are going on the wrong way, then doing bad things is not becoming an issue by you. Says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, another Hasidic Rebbe, he says the Pshat is like this, Yitiyatzev al derech lo tov. If all what you see is not good things by the other, ra lo imas, then you're bad. It's nothing more than indication about where you are holding. And that's what the Pasuk says, Ve'aya im shalom ta'ancha. If you see that you are tending really to look favorably at someone else and increase peace as much as you can, upatchalecha, this is going to be your opening to make tshuva. However, because you know that you really made a genuine change, the change is because you are now looking favorably at others. You know, we can fake actions. We can come to shul in the morning, not really genuinely make a change inside that we want to do it, but we come to shul, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur, it's Elul, we need to do it. You cannot fake feelings. How you feel towards the other is something that either you feel a genuine change or not. And the Pasuk is telling you that if you really want to know how genuine is your tshuva towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to see how genuine is your feeling towards the other. Because making tshuva require a change of feel. Making tshuva require a really genuine change of how you relate to another human being. And there's no faking in this. And that's what the Pasuk says. V'aya im shalom ta'ancha, if you see that you really tend to judge the other one favorably, then upatchalecha, you have the opening for a tshuva. God forbid it not, then v'tzarta leah, you have to continue to fight with yourself till you do the right thing. Rivka is telling Yaakov to go and run away. He says, run away, ad asher tashuv chamat achicha, till the anger of your brother will cease. And then it says, ad shuv af achicha mimcha, again, repeating, till the anger of your brother will stop, v'shachach et asher asita lo, and he'll forget what you've done to him. So Esdal of Simcha de Gera Rebbe, and it's some others are asking this, why is this double language? Ad asher tashuv chamat achicha, and ad asher shuv achicha. Says the Lev Simcha, there's an interesting principle. You hate someone. What happens, you think, the result of it as he relates to you? He knows you hate him. It's coming back right away. There's no things. When somebody knows that you hate him, he'll hit you back. If you will change, says a Chaim Brisker, he said, I can make everybody love me. How? By me loving them. If I change my attitude towards someone else, it will eventually change his attitude to me. Because the feeling that somebody has is something that's undeniable. And when somebody knows that you don't hate him anymore, he will soften his approach to you. When somebody thinks that you still hate him as much, he will harden his approach to you. So that's what Ifra is telling them. How would you know that Esav is no longer angry at you? Mimcha. By looking at yourself. Okay? If you will see that your anger at Esav subsided and your hatred of Esav subsided, you will know that the same thing happened on the other side. There's an interesting story about
my great-grandfather, my wife's great-grandfather, Rav Nochum Shodike. Rav Nochum Shodike was learned by a rov in the city, and the story doesn't mention the name of the city, but that city has a balabos, a yid, that gave a lot of trouble to all the kehillah. And he was a moiser, that basically he went and told the government about certain things that Jews are doing. One day, somebody came to the rov of this city, the Rebbe of Rav Nochum Shodike, who is our great-grandfather, and crying. He comes and his face was all wet and dirty and his clothes dirty, and he said, when I came to from the village I live to the city to sell some eggs, I saw this guy and he saw me carrying eggs, and he said, I would like you to bring the eggs to my house. And I said, I'll bring you, be happy to bring them, here's the cost. And he got so angry that I dared to ask money from him that he took a cane and broke all the eggs and tossed it in my face. I want you to call him to the interpreter and I want you to make him pay for it. So did the Rav. The Shamesh of the Rav was scared to go to him, and it went to this guy and said, the Rav is wanting you to come to the interpreter right now. And the guy kicked him out of the house. On Shabbos, this guy was a Koshiva guy in the shul, and he got a shishi in the shul, and the Rav of the city got up to the bima and said, you cannot have an aliyah. You are in Kherem, you are refusing the interpreter, you are Rosh, you cannot get an aliyah. And the guy didn't say a word, went down from the bima, and he told the Rav, you'll pay for it. A few days later, the Rav was invited to come to be a sandik in one of the villages around there. And they go with the horse and the carriage, and suddenly they see that somebody is running after them, and that's this guy. And everybody was scared that he is going now to take revenge of what happened. And the Rav of the city just sat down and was very much involved in his own thoughts. And when the guy arrived he reached basically the wagon of the Rav. He asked the Rav, he said, Rabbi, can I hit your students that are sitting here? Rav Nochum Shodike and the other one. And the Rav said, no. Can I spit in their face? And the Rav said, no. And then he went down and he said, Rebbe, I'm asking you your forgiveness. I've done wrong. Nobody understood what was going on. So the Rav told him, if you want forgiveness, go and pay back to this guy the money, the value of the eggs, and then ask for mechila. And so he did. People asked the Rav, what did you do? What happened? So the Rav said, from the minute I saw him running after us, I started to think, maybe he was not that wrong. I called him to an interpreter. Usually I give people 30 days. I demanded it on the spot. So, and he was angry. He was angry that the way I called him and what I called him. And when I called him, when I did it in the Sefer Torah, he didn't say a word. He didn't start yelling at me back or anything. He accepted what I told him. So maybe he made tshuva. I started to put all the kind of things that I can have in my mind to see if I can justify what this guy did. He said, by the time that the guy approached us, his approach to me changed too. Just by the way that I was thinking constantly favorably about him, it changed his feeling. So it's an interesting way that we can do, if we want to really do the genuine thing, is try to see if we can really do a genuine change in how we feel to others. We don't have to do it to the whole world. But just take one person that you really don't like and see if you can really change the way you approach this person, if you can be in peace with him. That will be a terrific indicator whether you can do a true tshuva or not. Shana tova, k'tivah v'chatimah tova.